All right, everybody, welcome into the Pigskins and Tutus podcast show. I am super excited to get the show started. I have quite a bit to talk about this week. Football is back. We are done with the preseason, and we are looking forward into this brand new season where we all get to start over, get a clean slate. Technically, everybody has a chance to win, which we know, the good teams and the mediocre teams and the bad teams, and there will be surprise teams, and there will be teams that were good last year that will be bad this year, and teams that were bad this last year that will be good this year. And just super excited to start the season off with the NFL. We got Jerry Jones and Zeke Elliott fighting with each other. We have players retiring. We have all sorts of drama right before this NFL season, and it's great for us fans. And unless something, I guess, bad happens to your team, then you probably aren't really excited about it. But I wanted to get into the football season. Nothing else. College football just started too. I've been watching a couple games. After this, I'm going to go watch the Auburn game. And Auburn and Oregon, and that's the problem with the college football schedule is, yes, it's opening up, it's the first week, and a lot of teams want to play the easy teams, they want to play the teams they know they're going to beat, so you see a lot of blowouts, and you're like, really, this is what we missed, but there's been a lot of crazy plays happening, and it's still football, it's still regular season college football. So the only game really worth watching as far as like when you look at it and go, this game should be a good game is Auburn and Oregon. So I'm going to go watch that when I'm done with this podcast show, but I'm looking forward to Thursday night. Thursday night, the Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears, and it is the 100th season of the NFL. It is the longest NFL rivalry, if I could say that correctly. But I'm super excited. I'm very optimistic about the Green Bay Packers. I am going to talk about the Green Bay Packers first here. I'm very optimistic in a lot of ways this season. We've had two. We come off of two horrible seasons. We missed the playoffs. Rodgers was injured. He played last year. All the season basically injured. We were running an old system, an old scheme. We had drama between coach and the quarterback. They didn't get along, and all this drama. This is probably the most drama filled season we've had here in the Green Bay Packers organization in a really, really long time. But the sun is on the horizon. We are optimistic this season. That's a good word. That's the word I'm using for the season. We're optimistic. We got a new head coach. We got all new offensive scheme coming in here. We have a whole new offensive system. We've got a whole new We have the whole new offensive system. Sorry, I also got to listen out for my kids if they wake up. I got to go put them back to sleep. So if I seem a little distracted in that area. Anyways, we have a brand new face to this defense. We've brought in the last 2 years seven new starters on the defensive side. We kept Mike Pettine as our defensive coordinator, and I love this guy. Everywhere he's gone, he's turned the defense into a top 10. So we're very excited. With all that new stuff going on, we want to see this offense going. We want to see it up and running. There's a lot of questions when we hired Matt LaFleur. Who is this guy? When they hired him, I said, Who is Matt LaFleur? And he came from Tennessee, and their offense didn't do very good. They were 25th ranked in the NFL. He likes to run the ball a lot, but he also was playing with Mariota. He wasn't playing with Aaron Rodgers and the type that this team has. And he liked Mike Pettine to keep him on board. I'm just really, really excited. I think this team's going to be very underrated. And it's very to be hard to be underrated with an elite quarterback in Aaron Rodgers if you believe he's elite. There's some people that believe that Aaron Rodgers is not a good quarterback. And I believe those people are smoking something because he is a very good quarterback. He is an elite quarterback. One of his off years last year. I think that's the problem, is his off years are still better than most in the NFL. And he sets such a high standard for what we believe Aaron Rodgers can do that when he doesn't reach it, it seems like he's slacking off or not playing as good. But his lows are better than your quarterback's highs most of the time. So, beat that. Now, I have Chicago Bear fans. Oh, Trubisky had a better year last year. Well, Trubisky threw 24 touchdowns and 12 or 10 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers threw 25 touchdowns and 2. So, I don't know. I think that's pretty much better than your quarterback in those two categories. And that's pretty important as far as touchdown in a ratio, touchdown and interception ratio and all that good stuff. His QB rating probably took a big hit last season, Aaron Rodgers, but he is such a good quarterback. Still believe in him. We're going to protect him this year. I think he's got to get rid of the ball faster. I think that's the problem with him. He wants to hit the home run ball every time, and I'm just like, throw the ball to the check down guy. It's okay to do sometimes. We have a top 10 offensive line, so it should be no problem keeping him upright. There's a lot of questions on who we're going to keep this year. I'm not a big fan of preseason football. No one is, I don't think. But it is an opportunity to see things. And you got to take things with a grain of salt. A lot of people are watching this preseason football, and they are taking too much into it. Oh, Rashawn Gary's a bust. He's a bust. Dude, he's played 4 preseason games. He's learning the NFL. He's learning a new position in the NFL. So it is difficult. You cannot, after 4 preseason games, we have some Packer players, or Packer, not players, sorry, Packer fans calling Rashawn Gary a bust. And look, I get it. We took him with the first pick, number 12 pick in the NFL draft. We took him. He had a lot of question marks. He has the potential. He is a beast of a man, all right? He is 275 pounds, 6'3", and runs, or 6'4". Six, somewhere around there. I don't know how tall he is, and runs a 4.3 or 4.440. He's a fast, explosive ball of potential, and hopefully we can bring that out in him. He didn't do a whole lot in college. He was really good in high school coming out. He faced a lot of double teams in college. You got to give this guy more than 4 preseason games. Hell, you probably got to give him more than just 1 season. I don't think you can just consider him a bust, all right? So people need to relax. I think the last couple years that I've seen on Facebook and all these pages is everyone's, the sky is falling and Green Bay this and just relax. We got to be optimistic with things. And that's hard for me to do sometimes because when it comes to sports, I'm a pretty realistic guy, even with my own team. You look at this team too. Another thing too is we're underrated. I mean, they have people saying, "Oh, Green Bay is an easy win," but we're not going to be an easy win. We got a new defense. We got guys killing it this so far in practice, and it's hard to take about. I know it's hard to. I got to take it with a grain of salt because sometimes it doesn't transfer over to the NFL season, and I believe that's true. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. Sometimes they play better in the NFL season, and it's just one of those things. But this wide receiving crew is going to be very good. We got Devontae Adams, you all know, all right? He's one of the best route runners in the league. He was voted the best release off the line in football as far as wide receiver goes. He's great. We got Geronimo Allison came back off injury. We got MVS, did great last year as a rookie season. He's only going to grow. St. Brown is actually going to be out for the season, which surprised me. He had a high ankle sprain. They thought he might have broke it, but he didn't. Taking a pretty cheap shot against the Raiders, I believe it was, and in preseason football, and they put him out for the season, basically. So, and then we got Jake Kumerow, who did really, really good in preseason last year, got injured, was out the whole year, did really, really good in preseason, did pretty good in preseason this year. Him and Rodgers seem to have a connection, so he has a connection with Rodgers. Let's keep him on this football field and go. Our running back position is pretty strong. Aaron Jones played really, really well last year, and that's really excited me because of the fact that Matt LaFleur loves to use a running game, and that running game is going to open up the offense, help Aaron Rodgers out better be able to pass the ball with that play action and everything going into it. Now, I hope he doesn't run the ball too much. The Seattle Seahawks, to me, run the ball too much. The Cowboys run the ball too much, but to me, I think they have to because that's the way they're built, and their quarterback's not as good of a thrower that we've seen. So that's a different subject. So you can tell already in this podcast, I probably seem more excited and upbeat. I'm just ready for the season to start. I'm going to be tired at work on Friday. I'm watching my football game on Thursday night, opening Green Bay and the Bears. So it'll be interesting. It ought to be great. Now, let's see here. Now, look, Andrew Luck, we got to talk about this. I'm going to go on a little rant a little bit. Andrew Luck retired. I got the news. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm braced across my phone. Andrew Luck has retired from the NFL. My jaw hit the floor. I'm not even a Colts fan. I'm an Andrew Luck fan. I do like Andrew Luck. I'm not even a Colts fan. Jaw hit the ground. I couldn't believe it. All night I kept telling my wife, babe, I can't believe he just retired. Like, the dude's 29 years old. He's a great quarterback. This guy has all the potential in the world. If he can stay healthy, that's the big issue with him. If he can stay healthy. And at first, I got mad for the Colts fans because, not mad at them, mad for them. Because of the fact that when it first retired, the report said he was mentally drained. And I was like, what kind? It's not a very good excuse to me. A mentally drained, like, there's a lot of players that are probably mentally drained, but, you know, they're still in the NFL. And I was like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I've never heard the mentally drained. Just looks for like an excuse. He comes out and talks about, of course, being injured and how that's drug him down physically and mentally. And then I was like, okay, it makes more sense now that you're talking about being injured all the time. And they booed him when he came off the field. And I know a lot of people are going, oh man, those scumbag fans, what a horrible way to treat Andrew Luck. That's garbage. I have no problem with them booing Andrew Luck. No problem with it. Think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. They just came off a really great season. They have potential to, some people thought, go to the Super Bowl this season. Andrew Luck came off one of his best seasons. They got a really good team. They were going to be a playoff contender and fighting for a shot for the Super Bowl. I believe in. These fans just got their season ripped out from them. Without your quarterback in the NFL, you're probably not going to do very good. We all know it. If Aaron Rodgers gets injured, oh, my season's done. It's over. I've seen it happen. But put yourself in their shoes. I don't think they're booing Andrew Luck because they hate him. They're booing him because they're disappointed in his decision. Now later on, they probably understand it. I understand it. Now I'm just like, you know, I understand why he's doing it. And they look, the guy's 29. He has $100 million in the bank. He wants to be able to walk when he's 40 years old. I get it. He's been the most hit quarterback since he came to the NFL. And that's because the Colts general manager at the time, through most of his career, refused to get him an offensive line and refused to protect him. And you can put the blame on them, whatever. But I'm not mad at the Colts fans for booing him. I don't care. I don't care. If you put yourself in that position, if you're passionate about sports and passionate about your team and your quarterback, and that's the biggest thing to me is the timing of this. 2 weeks before the regular season and you're going to quit, retire, whatever you want to call it. That is just, to me, that's just kind of screwing over the organization. They're going, oh man, what are we going to do? All the quarterbacks are pretty much taken. And if they didn't have Brissett behind Andrew Luck, then I think they'd be in a lot worse terms. But they do have Brissett, and I think he can be decent. He's going to be able to take them to the playoffs. I don't know. I don't think so. But I have no problem with them booing. If Aaron Rodgers came out tomorrow and said, I quit, and Packers booed him off the field, I don't have any problem with it. I understand. It's a gut reaction, split decision, and you just feel like your whole season's done with before it even started and with the potential you have. So I get it. I don't think Andrew Luck comes back. I think he's done with. I think he does. I think he could have the potential to come back, and I think the Colts want him to come back and believe that he will. They let him keep his $24.6 million that they could have took back. They let him keep it in good faith, I think. But this also ties into going into my rant. Rob Gronkowski came out and talked about why he retired from the NFL. And Gronk is a guy that, he's a meathead. Partying up, drinking beer, we're celebrating, we're having a good time, we're living it up. And you don't think Rob or Gronk really gets emotional very much, but he comes on and they do an interview and he talks about why he retired, talking about the pain he was in and the physical pain he was in. He just came off a Super Bowl victory, okay? Should be one of the best moments of his life. And he said he's in bed crying because he hurt so bad. And it didn't make much sense to him. He should be happy, but he's in pain. And he's talking about how football took the joy of life. And that's why he quit. Think about that. He just won the championship. All right, Super Bowl trophy. Supposed to be living it up, partying it up. You just, everything you've worked for. Everything. The blood, the sweat, the tears, the hard work. Taking the poundings they do each week. He's been injured, in and off the injured list, coming back, fighting, rehabbing, all this stuff that he's worked for to win it all. He got there. He did it. They did it again. He got another ring, and he's laying in bed in so much pain that the joy of life has left him. He doesn't, not that he doesn't want to live, but he can't find the happiness anymore. That's crazy. And I'm going into my rant here, and it's because of the fact that these NFL owners are just money-hungry thugs. That's all they are. They're money-hungry. That's all they want is money. They all have billions, and they want more. They're so greedy. They want an 18-game season. And to me, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. They already put their bodies through so much. They play 4 preseason games, which are meaningless. Okay, you might argue the fact that it's not meaningless to those trying to make the team, but the ratings are going down. No one's watching preseason football. They're not playing their starters. You want to do 4 preseason football games, and then they play 16 games of the most brutal sport in the world. Or one of, okay, the... Okay, rugby's probably more brutal, but one of the most brutal sports in the United States, if not the most brutal sports in the United States. And you guys can't just take away 2 preseason games. I think they should just take away 2 preseason games and keep it 16 games. They play 2 preseason games, and then they play 16 games, and that's it. But they won't do it. You know why? Because they're going to lose money. That's all it is to them, is money. Money, money, money. So when you talk about player safety and you talk about these helmets that do this, and we've learned so much over CTE this last couple of years, and so many stories have come out about how bad this sport can be for you and how bad these players are hurt and how bad it can mess you up physically and mentally. You have players out here killing themselves. You have players out here killing their families and then themselves because they're so messed up in the brain from playing a sport. And I get it. They signed up for it. You know, that's it. I get it. And then the NFL has come a long way in trying to keep them safe. Or safer. Okay? You're not going to always be safe. Safer. They've come a long way. They've changed penalties. You can't touch the quarterback without a penalty nowadays. They've done certain things where you can't hit with your helmet and targeting. Okay, that helps. But you can't just give them 2 games off the preseason. You want to add 2 more on the end because you got to make your money. Oh, you got to make your money. You know how greedy that is? That's so greedy. It's ridiculous. The NFL continues, even preseason games, continue to kill anything it's up against in ratings. Period. Point blank. It doesn't matter. A preseason game will get more views than a World Series baseball game. than a NBA championship game, a preseason football game. That's how much they dominate. And they're so greedy, they want to add two more games on the regular season. It is outright ridiculous. And I hope it doesn't happen. But I guarantee you it will. I talked about this last podcast. It's going to happen. You know why it's going to happen? Because the players are always behind when they do the CBA. The CBA is coming up and they're talking about having a, if it doesn't get fixed, they're talking about having a lockout. The players don't have much to give the owners to get the things they want. They never have, they never will, they never do. You know what happens with a lockout? If a lockout happens, the players don't get paid, but the owners continue to get paid. You know why? Because they have contracts. They have contracts with different places, but mostly they're TV contracts for their teams and everything else. The owners still get paid. So you can have a lockout, and the players are told to save money, and who knows if they do or not. That's up to them. But the fact of the matter is the owners are still getting paid. So they're like, okay, well, don't show up. We're still going to get paid money. You're not. So they're put behind they're bent over the barrel to start with. They don't have much to offer the owners. It's ridiculous. So I guarantee you, the next CBA, the players want marijuana and CBD for their health, for their pain and suffering, and to be not be taking opioids, which is really bad for your system and your body. I get it. So I guarantee you that will become legal for them to take those things, and the owners in return will ask for 18 game seasons, and it's going to happen. The players want the CBD, and Gronkowski actually started a CBD company that he wants to work with the NFL to show them that CBD is not bad for you. And if for you those that don't know what CBD is exactly, CBD is basically kind of what medical marijuana is. It does stuff like it has healing powers and stuff, and can take away some pain without the hallucinogens that are in marijuana. And I'm not an expert on it, so you may be listening to this going, this guy kind of sounds stupid with this, because I don't know an expert on CBD or marijuana, but they put CBD in oils now, they put CBD in certain things, and Gronkowski came out and said he's never felt better in his life taking this stuff. And it's not smoking weed, it's not giving you hallucinogens, it's just strictly for healing your body and recovering from pain and stuff like that. Give it to the players. You should give it to the players now. It's better than them taking opioids. Getting addicted to opioids is a very, very tough situation. It's a very tough thing to get out of. I don't know. I've never been addicted to it. But I've seen over years people being addicted to it. You can go and do your research. It's very tough, very difficult hole to get out of. I listen to 105.3 The Fan. I live in Texas. And Jerry Jones comes on there all the time and talks about it. And then he was talking about, he was talking out his ass is what he was doing. But they were talking about 18-game seasons and with people retiring. Just kind of the same thing, the same questions and concerns I'm bringing up right now. And he just went on to mummer about, well, you take less contact in the off-season and you take the two preseason games away. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter two damn bits. Sorry for my language. I get passionate about this stuff. That doesn't matter, Jerry Jones, okay? You don't hit in practice in the NFL. They don't hit in practice. They don't tackle in practice. And taking away two preseason games to add on to the regular season doesn't matter, because you're hitting the same amount. It doesn't, or even more, actually, for the starters. Because the starters usually ain't playing those. I'm telling you, they're just coming up with excuses to get their 18 games so they can get more money in their greedy-ass pockets. And that's it. And it bugs me. It really does bug me. And I am all for the players getting their money when they can, because this game is so violent. and they should get every penny they can get, because it could be any play, any tackle, where you break your neck. Look at Ryan Shazier, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a couple years ago. I think it's 2 years now. Made it look like, well, a routine hit. Didn't look too bad. Well, he ended up breaking his neck. They said he would never walk again. But this, you know, he's such an inspiration story. He's up walking, and he wants to be able to play football again. I don't know if that'll ever happen. But football's a dangerous sport. I'm pretty sure you know that already. But it just drives me insane. 18-game seasons, because the NFL owners are so greedy that they don't care. They don't care about the players. Health. Straight up, they don't. They can say they do, and they can lie to you right to your face. But when it comes to adding two more regular season games and getting paid more money in their pockets, that's more important. That's what they're telling you. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous when you have quarterbacks retiring at 29 because they want to be able to walk when they're 30 or walk when they're 40. And have a mind when they're 40 and have to play with their kids. I understand it. I understand Andrew Luck, you retired. I get it. If I was a Colts fan, at first I would have been mad, but I would have got over it. I would have understood the fact that you sacrificed so much and did so much. And you're ready to walk away. I get it. Hell, you're 29. You have $100 million. Go enjoy life. Now, I'm pretty sure he might be an analyst. I mean, he's very smart and stuff like that, so we'll probably see him again, but I doubt we'll see him play football again. Being here in Dallas, like I said, or in Fort Worth, I live in Fort Worth, but being in this area, I hear Cowboys talk. I wish I lived in Wisconsin. I hear Green Bay talk all the time. But I hear Dallas Cowboys talk, and right now everyone's talking about, obviously, Zeke Elliott and Jerry Jones. It's national news. Anything that happens with the Cowboys turns out to be national news, but this one's a big one. The holdout, Zeke versus Jared Jones. What side of the fence do you fit on? What side of the fence are you on? Probably the Cowboy fans are on Jerry Jones' side, saying, oh, well, you know, Zeke had a contract. He should honor it. He's had some off-the-field issues, yada, yada, yada. And I agree with that. I can sit myself on both sides of the fence and say, I agree. He's under contract. He shouldn't sign along that long of a term. Well, I think they had to sign a long-term deal if they're a first-round pick. I believe they have to, especially at the running back position, which I think needs to be changed because the running back position is devalued. And I think that's what Ezekiel Elliott's trying to get across to them, that I don't get a second contract. I don't get that big second contract because I'm a running back. But I can see it. He should show up. He did off-the-field issues that Jerry Jones and the ownership of the Dallas Cowboys have covered for him and fought for him. And I can see that side of it. But I can also see the side of it where fans are calling for Jerry Jones to pay him. You and Steven have said this guy is, Zeke Elliott is the guy that stirs, is the straw that stirs the drink. You built your team around him. You drafted him fourth round, or you drafted him the fourth pick in the first round because you knew he was going to be, first of all, you drafted him to help Tony Romo continue his career. The fact. Dak Prescott comes along. You need him to help Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott is not the elite thrower of the football. That's okay. But he is the straw that stirs the drink. And I can see those people saying, pay him. He is our offense. He's the best player on offense. And this is our Super Bowl. It's time to go to the Super Bowl. And this is our best opportunity, and you want to play hardball. You want to fight over a couple million dollars. Now, we don't know the exact numbers. It could be guaranteed money. We've been told that they offered him somewhere between the Gurley contract and the Bell contract, which, yearly rate, it's only a couple million dollars. So if you find out they've been haggling over a couple million dollars, well, I'd be pissed if I was the Cowboys fans because Jerry Jones should cough up two more million and easily get it done. If it's the fact that the guaranteed money is hogwash, then I could understand why Zeke Elliott is holding out. Unless he's asking for it, like, I want $65 million guaranteed or whatever. He wants the whole contract guaranteed. Then I understand why Jerry Jones is holding out. We don't have the numbers. We don't have all the facts. It's hard to get on his side of the fence. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. This is your window, Jerry Jones. Okay? This is the best roster you've had in years. This is the best defense that you've had in years. This is probably your best offense that you've had in years. Your offensive line is healthy. Your quarterback, he's questionable, but he is still a good enough quarterback to win. With players around him, he's good enough to win. This is your best opportunity to win a Super Bowl, because we know you want to win one more to get out of the shadows of what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? I have his face in my head. What is his name? I can't remember his name. Get out of the shadows of the coach that brought you the Super Bowls and built this team, or built the team back in the 90s, okay? But this is your opportunity. This is your best team. You have probably a top five roster in the league. And you know how much it kills me to say that, because I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys. But your team is good. And now's the time you want to fight over money? Back in the day, you didn't. You didn't fight over money back in the day. Emmitt Smith held out for 3 games, and then you paid him. Because you were 0-3 or whatever it was. You weren't very good without him. And you paid him. And you paid him because you came on the 105.3 Fan talking about how, Emmitt Smith was the most important player on the team, and he felt like he needed to be paid like that. But, well, Zeke Elliott is your most important player on the offense. And that's a fact. He's been that player for you. Now, maybe you can win without him. I don't know. But are you willing to sacrifice that? Are you willing to take that chance that you're not going to be good without Zeke Elliott when this is your Super Bowl year? If I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm pulling my hair out. And like I said, I get both sides of the fence. But this is your window. This is your opportunity. Dak is good enough to win with players around him. You take those players around him and you want him to throw the ball a lot more, I don't think you're going to win very much. Your defense is a top five defense. And this year, I think it's going to be elite. I actually think that the Dallas Cowboys will have an elite defense this year. And it wasn't elite last year to me because the fact that they don't get turnovers. But this year, I think that changes. I think they will get more turnovers. But you want to take the chance because you don't want to pay your running back. Man, it's a principle thing because of the fact you don't want to pay him. But you paid Emmitt Smith, and he was the most important player on the team. Zeke Elliott is your most important player. I don't know why this thing is not done yet. It will get done, I believe. And I believe Zeke will be back before game one. They actually talked reports earlier today talking about how they're close to getting the deal done. So that's good for you Cowboy fans. But the way that Jerry Jones is, because first of all, Jerry Jones comes out and says, there's no tone set here. It's not personal. But then he takes multiple shots at Zeke Elliott. So it seems personal. And I bet it is personal. And Jerry Jones can't come out and say it's personal, of course. But he's gone to bat for Zeke Elliott multiple times with his off-the-field issues. And now Zeke's going to do this. It's pretty disrespectful. I get it. I get both sides. And I know that the Cowboys have a lot of players that are good. And they got to manage the money right or they're going to lose some players. But that happens everywhere. You're going to lose players. You're going to lose good players sometimes because you can't afford to pay them. Do you pay Zeke? Do you pay Dak? Do you pay Cooper? Do you pay Byron Jones? I think Byron Jones is the one that gets squeezed out because he's probably going to have a really good year this year and get paid the big bucks next season. And you got to pay Amari Cooper. You gave a first round pick for him, and you got to pay Dak Prescott. You don't want to go in that quarterback carousel again of who we're going to bring in, which you got really, really lucky with Dak Prescott. And running backs now are dime a dozen. You don't need a running back. But Zeke Elliott to me is that offense. and they drafted him first, the fourth pick in the first round, if you're going to say you're going to get rid of him or you don't value him as much, then why did you draft a running back that high? So many questions go into this, but I'm just telling you, if I was a Cowboys fan, I would be going, Jerry, get him in here. Pay the man, get him in here. Because you don't, what if they don't bring him in? What if they don't pay him? And the Cowboys to go 8-8 and miss the playoffs. Is Jerry Jones ever going to be able to live that down? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be able to go to sleep at night knowing, man, we could have been a lot better if we just paid Zeke? And I get it. I get it. I get both sides. I do. I get both sides. I don't want to pay my running back $15 million a year. Get out of here. Hell, I don't want to pay him $13 a year. Get out of here. But when you have Jarrett, when you have Stephen Jones coming out and saying, it starts with a Gurley deal, put his foot in his mouth. Because now they want that. Now they're saying, oh, you told me that it starts with this. So, and you haven't even got to that point yet. And then you talk about how, oh, well, this is our cap. This is the, we can't worry about what other teams' situations are. This is our money, which is true. But the players don't care about that. They don't care. They don't care. They do not care. And then you say, we don't worry about the cap, right? But then you come out and say, oh, well, Le'Veon Bell reset that cap when he got paid his deal. Well, you just told me you don't care about the cap. So that means nothing to me now. You don't care about the cap. Then you can't come out and use the cap against me saying, well, this is where the cap is. You just said you weren't, you're not worried about the cap that they set, the new standard they set for the running backs. And I just don't think that it's worth the risk to not pay Zeke Elliott and take the chance of missing out. And I still think they win enough games to be 10-6, maybe to make the playoffs. I don't think you win the division without Zeke. I think you make a wild card, and you're a good enough team to do so because your roster. But if you have to have Dak Prescott throw the ball 30, 40 times, because who knows if Pollard can take all the load, then I think you're in for some trouble. That's just my opinion. Now, with Zeke Elliott, I think you win your division. And I think you probably go pretty far in the playoffs. I know if my friends are listening, they're probably thinking I'm smoking something because I've never once, well, not never once, but I've never told them or complimented them a whole lot about the Dallas Cowboys. But this is the best team they have. And that's why this is probably the most frustrating part about this for the Dallas Cowboys fans, because they know that. They know this is our opportunity. They know this is the best offense we've had in a long time, and it's the best defense we've had in a long time. And then you have all this other issues going on outside the field. But I get why Zeke's holding out. And this organization doesn't have a very good track record of treating players correctly when they want to get rid of them. Des Bryant, look at Des Bryant. Des Bryant came in and asked, I'll take a pay cut to stay. They cut him when all the players had been taken free agency. They cut him so late, he had barely any chances to go to another team. Look at Tony Romo. Tony Romo broke his back and body and all this stuff and sacrificed so much for his team that once they had a shot, once they had a chance to get rid of him, they did. Once he got injured and couldn't play and he wanted to come back, they didn't give him the opportunity. Sorry, Romo. We know you had sacrificed so much for us and your body and played with a collapsed lung and all this stuff. But we're not going to give you that opportunity. They don't have a good track record. Barber was a little older when they let him go, but they ran him into the ground and let him go. Zeke Elliott, they're running him. They're going to run him ragged. They're going to run him into the ground. And he's probably thinking, you're not going to run me into the ground and then not pay me. So I get it. I get it. I totally get it. Jerry Jones, though, if I was Jerry Jones, I'd pay the man. I'd get the deal done. He would have done this a long time ago, and maybe that's why. Maybe that's why, because Stephen Jones is taking more of a role, and Will Mc, what's his name? Forget his name. He does drafting. I think he's in charge of personnel there. I don't know all their names because I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. But he has come in. They've done a really good job of drafting, honestly. But he's kept Jerry Jones from making those dumb mistakes and taking those risks. But this is a risk that he has to take. Risk that he has to take. So, all right, that was my Jerry Jones and Zeke take. I go back and forth on it for the last couple weeks, but that's where I stand. Jerry Jones needs to pay him. And you Cowboy fans may not like Zeke the way he's doing your team, and you may think he's a brat for all the stuff he does off the field. I don't like the stuff he's done off the field either. But he is your guy. He's a straw that stirs the drink. So pay the man, Jerry. Get him in there. Anyways, and plus I did pick him for fantasy, so I'm praying that he doesn't miss half the season. But this is my first year I started doing not my first year of fantasy, but my first year I started doing a Survivor Island game. And what it is basically you look at a matchup each week or the first week, and you pick a team. You say, hey, I guarantee you that the Patriots are going to beat the Miami Dolphins. Pin me down with the Patriots. And if the Patriots win, you move on to next week. And then you pick a different matchup. You can't pick the same team twice. And the longer, if you keep picking right, you keep going up and up. And it's a last man standing type thing. So it's probably not going to last all season unless you have a really good person picking. And it is just a random pick because any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. But I'm looking forward to starting that. So that's going to be fun this season. We got college football. We have NFL football. We got baseball closing down. It is a good time of year. It is a good time of year. Quick baseball just take for me. I think it's going to be, and it's not a hot opinion. It's going to be the Yankees versus the Astros in the AL championship, ALCS, and the National League. Dodgers will make it to the World Series. And honestly, the Yankees and Astros series might be better than watching the World Series, in my opinion. You got two teams that are great. You got one team that has better pitching, and they have a stacked pitching house. And you got one team that is the better bats. And the Yankees, in my opinion, have better bats, even though Astros are good too. Two great teams coming together. Who's going to win? The pitching staff, the more better hits or better bats. And then you got and Brian Cashman, man, Brian Cashman. Up in the with the Yankees, as everybody he touches turns to gold. He brings guys in from AAA, and he doesn't know who to put down when players come back from injury because of the fact that they're all playing so well. And it's kind of really annoying because I don't know how he's so good at scouting. I think the Rangers need to figure out what the Yankees are doing in that department because we're not very good. And speaking of Rangers, real quick here. To end with baseball, it's kind of interesting because of the fact that it is such a football-dominated podcast and yet alone this week. But here's the problem I have with the Rangers. We played really well at the beginning of the season. And I knew eventually we would drop off to where we were supposed to be. And we were supposed to be a really bad team, and we are a really bad team. We our players, to get to where we were earlier in the season, to before the half All-Star game, we were close to the playoffs. Halfway if the season ended, we would be one or two games out, whatever it was. And we weren't even picked to be that good. But that was with everybody playing lights out, playing way above they were supposed to. So I said, okay, soon enough, Amin's going to come to an end here. We're going to meet, and we're going to be bad. And it is what it is. We are bad. But here's what I have a problem with, Rangers. The players that we're supposed to be are our foundation here to start a new team under aren't good players, guys. That's the problem. You promised us Mazzara would be good. Hell, he's not even guaranteed a position on the team next year. Odor had flashes. This is a guy that's going to be here a while. He's not even an average baseball player this year. Not even an average second baseman. Okay? We got Elvis Andrus, who tends to do good, and then he gets injured and he comes back and he doesn't do so good. That's been his trend. He'll do really good, get injured, and he'll come back, and it'll go. His numbers will go way down. These guys that you said were going to be the pillar stones, because every team has them. You have your guys, your core guys, and then you bring in guys, and you kind of build around that. Well, the guys we're building around are crap, okay? Let's not sugarcoat it. They're crap. And then I didn't even mention Joey Gallo. And Joey Gallo is our best player, in my opinion. He's come a long way. But this is the first year he's actually put it together where he has been that guy going, oh, man, this guy's an all-star. This guy, he jumps to that next level this year. Does it stay? I don't know. We'll have to see. Can he stay healthy? He's been injured a lot this season. But his numbers this year he's gone up a lot. He's played a lot better, and he is our best player. And you can build around that if he continues to grow. But he's done it 1 year. So these are the guys you're telling me you're going to build around. And they're crap. Mazzara's garbage. And I say garbage. He's not garbage. He's going to hit you 20 home runs, 60 RBIs a year, and that's what he is. But when we drafted him, when we took him, and he was predicted to be the next Albert Pujols, and he's not even nowhere close. Rougie Odor goes through slumps for half the season. Half a season, he's not even an average baseball player, and they don't sit him down. Now we do have a second baseman now, and he probably will take his position next year. But we still owe Rougie a whole lot of money, and that's why they don't. They don't want to get rid of him. But he's a bad baseball player. Mazzara is a bad baseball player. Not a bad baseball player. But, well, I don't know. I go back on the fence. He's not good. He can't field. He's very, very slow. And all he can do is hit. And he doesn't hit very well. 20 home runs every year and 60 RBIs. These are the players that we're supposed to be building around. And they're crap. And then you look at a pitching staff. Mike Minor's great. Love Mike Minor. But he's 31. He's not going to be here very much longer. You're not going to want to pay a 31-year-old so much money to stay here for your rebuilding for your new stadium. Lance Lynn's been really great for us this year, but I think he's just a year rental. Are you going to bring him back? I don't know. And the Rangers have never... They don't spend a whole lot of money. Usually the owners are pretty tight with the budget. But they're going to have to spend money to get this team where they want it to be. But that's my little Ranger rant in this podcast show. I hope you have a great week. Great week watching football coming in again. Watch the Packers beat the Bears Thursday night. We're going to be underrated. I'm telling you. People are underestimating us, and I love it. All right, guys, I'm going to go start the Auburn game. I know it started so early tonight. It started at 6:30, but I got it recording. Going to go watch that and then hit the hay before I got to go to church in the morning. But I hope you guys have a blessed Sunday. Have a great week. And I will see you guys next week. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.